is watching over him. Don't you love that reset button? The refresh button on the computer? Isn't it fantastic? Let's read those first few verses of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's doing really well. The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? He's doing great. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. Though war rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Yes, David was fully aware of the threat that was surrounding him. But he pushed the reset button and he reminded himself who God was. Have you ever been in that place where you have been overwhelmed? Everything around you is going wrong. Nothing seems to be working out. Every time you think that you're doing something just the way you should, you're going to church, getting to the prayer meeting, you're helping people, and your whole world is crumbling. I've been there. I know what it likes. And it's a horrible feeling. But that's the moment that we do the only thing we can do. And that's to throw ourselves on the rock. Throw ourselves on him. Despite all the present dangers, he declares his assurance in God. Despite everything that he is feeling and seeing with his natural eyes, he decides that he is going to put his faith in God. His response in verse 8 is fantastic. Verse 8. Let's read verse 7 and then verse 8. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. Hallelujah. He pushed the reset button again. And he reminded himself again of who God was. The great thing about David and his life, yes, he slew Goliath, and yes, he was a great leader, but more than anything, he was a man who knew how to communicate with God. He always went back and communicated with him. He asked God to teach him, to lead him, to deliver him. And that's when he says, in verses 11 to 12, teach me thy ways, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He will strengthen thy heart. Wait on the Lord. When in doubt, wait. If you don't have the answer, wait. But most of all, wait for the Lord to give the direction. Don't panic. Now, we see David's struggle, and he did one thing. He decided not to allow circumstance to rob him of his confidence and trust and faith in God. How's your confidence, your faith, your trust right now? Are we feeling shaky, nervous, or are we doing okay? Well, I know one thing about living in this country. Our faith is constantly being challenged. It's constantly being shaken. And it's constantly being put to test. That is the privilege of living in Israel, where the principalities and powers of darkness constantly batter the saints of God. So if you are being battered, if you are being knocked about, if your faith and your confidence is being challenged, guess what? You are important to God. You are significant. It's fantastic. If you're not being buffeted and the devil's leaving you alone, get worried. You know, we need to speak to our hearts at times of discouragement just like David did. And I have. I've done that power of positive thinking thing. I can do this. I know I can do this. I got faith for this. I can overcome this. The only problem with that position is it's all about I. Instead of saying, Lord, you can do this. You can help me. You can strengthen me. You can do it. I can't. That's the difference. Positive thinking's great, but if God isn't in the picture, nothing's going to change. And David realized that, and that's why he constantly went back and reminded himself. He didn't say, hey God, I'm a mighty warrior. I've done all these battles. I can do this. No. He reminded himself how much he needed God. Well, we have to get over the fact that we keep saying, I. And we have to humble ourselves and say, can you help me? I will declare his goodness in my life. This was a key point in David's life. He began to declare goodness. Think about good things that had happened in his life. He said, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will experience it, not only in glory. I'm going to experience it here. And I'm sure he began to remember all the good things God had already done for him. And as I was writing this message, I began to think about all the good things God has done in my life. He has done huge things in my life. Enormous things in my life. And, you know, as time passes, we tend to forget how big our God is. But he's huge. He's creative. He's amazing. You know, about 2 months ago, there was a story of a young teenager that came to the press. And he was 13 years old. He was going to junior high in a school in Male Adumim, just on the outskirts of Jerusalem. He was, those horrible teenagers' years, 13. You know, you either have had your growth spurt or you haven't had your growth spurt. There's 13-year-olds that are huge and there's 13-year-olds that are really little. This guy happened to be really little. And every time he went to school, everybody made fun of him. They called him the runt. They laughed at him. They pushed him around. And they waited for him to react. He would go home and tell his parents what had happened. And his mother always said to him, "Don't go down to their level. Don't allow those words to hurt you. Don't become like them. Don't spew that kind of hatred and ugliness." And this young boy, he kept hearing all of these things from his mother and his father. And, you know, he knew, yeah, that's right, they're right. But as soon as he got to the gate at school, he didn't mean a thing. He felt nothing but fear, insecurity. He felt like he was nothing. But he fought through it. He came home one day. His mother left a note on the table that she'd gone out to the supermarket. And he decided to go on Facebook and check his status. And he went on to Facebook, and there were all these messages from these kids who had been bullying him at school. And there were messages like, "You are a dog, and we will beat you with a stick. When you come to school, we will beat you, and we will womb you, and we will treat you as nothing but a dog. You are not even human in our eyes." And it was all on his Facebook page. And this young boy was overwhelmed. He was overtaken with all of these vicious words. His mother came home, called his name, couldn't find him, and found him hanging from the shower in the bathroom. And he had killed himself. The power of these words said to this young boy destroyed him. Later, they interviewed the kids at school, and they said, "Well, we didn't mean it. We were just, you know, messing around, you know. We didn't think he would take it so seriously." But those words destroyed this family's life forever. Why is it important to push the reset button? Why is it important to remind ourselves about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? It's because the enemy comes in like a flood to destroy you. And you have to have that ability to go back and remember the goodness of the Lord in your life. 1 Peter 3:8-12 says, "Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil, not railing for railing, but blessing, knowing that you are called that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him turn from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and follow it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." God will hear your prayers when you are discouraged, when you're fearful, when you're confused. He will hear your prayers. He will stop the hand of the enemy. He will overcome evil with good. All we have to do is go to him. Say, "Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it. Help me." Proverbs 16:7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." Well, you know who one of the greatest enemies is in this country? I wonder if we know who it is. Who do we consider one of the greatest enemies in this country? I know. I'm human, so I'm going to... The Ministry of the Interior. I mean, sometimes it seems like... I hope there's no one here from there. But sometimes it feels like when you walk into that building, all the powers of darkness are there. They come in like a flood. You're walking up the staircase and you already start to sweat. You feel like a criminal and you haven't done anything. You feel guilty and you don't even know why. Even though you fill the form in and you know it's all true, you feel like maybe it's not true. You start to second guess yourself. The Ministry of Interior has this incredible way of totally destroying all your confidence. Now, maybe this is just my personal experience. But has anybody felt like that when they've gone there? Only on this side. Okay. Well, that's impressive. That, oh, yeah. The Ministry of Interior. It's a horrible place. If you want to know your spiritual status and how strong you are in the Lord, I invite you to go to the Minister of Interior. And you will come out of there saying exactly what David said about himself. I'm a worm. I'm just a worm. I have been there. I know. I've experienced it. But we have to remember something else. We got to remember His goodness. If we can constantly remember only the negative things, we will not be able to really appreciate God for who He is. You know, a year ago, my daughter Mari, she's in the Air Force, and I was invited to a ceremony up in Haifa, and she was chosen the most outstanding soldier out of 700 soldiers. You know, that was an awesome experience. I tell you, I felt so proud of my daughter. I mean, if they had had flashing lights and, you know, big things saying, proud mother, that was me. I was bursting with pride. And at the end of the ceremony, the general, or the mabas, that's what they call it, the big guy at the base, he came up to me and he said, "So you're Mari's mom?" "Yeah." "You don't look anything like it." "Yeah." And I said to him what I always say, "Well, you know, she's got her father's good looks but her mother's brain." And then he said to me, "Well, if that's the case, you need to do something. Your daughter needs to become an officer. Your daughter needs to get top security clearance. Your daughter needs to have Israeli citizenship. And I will do everything. I will write all the letters. But you're the one that has to push this thing through. You're her mom. You've got to do this. You've got to deal with the Ministry of Interior." As soon as he said, "Ministry of Interior," I was like a wet noodle. I was not that confident, proud mother anymore. I was worse than leftover chicken. I was useless. And you know what happened? I began to say, "That's impossible. I can't do this." But Mari was standing right there next to me, and that mother gene kicked in. You know, that genetic thing that mothers do? "Well, okay then. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, I'll take care of that. Yeah, I'll do that." And I'm saying one thing, but I'm thinking something else. Well, you know, I understand David in this situation. My confidence is in you, but I can hear the enemy coming. My confidence is in you, but I know there's a whole army out there getting ready to kill me. My confidence is in you. Well, I decided to do something that was outstanding. I told Murray, you know, we can totally do this. And I said, in fact, I will go and apply for citizenship with you just to show them that I'm not afraid. So I went with Murray to the Ministry of Interior and we both brought our applications for citizenship. And you know what they did? They laughed at me. They said, oh, we can't accept this. And I said, but you have to accept it. No, 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 we don't have to accept anything. And I said, well, we want you to have it anyway. And they said, and your daughter can't apply for citizenship till she's been in the army 18 months. And I said, well, you know, just accept it anyway. And, you know, you don't have any letters. I said, oh, I have this one from the general. Can you take that? No. I said, okay, just take it anyway. You see, the one thing you learn about the Ministry of Interior here is that no never means no. No means put it on the table. Try again. Push harder. Keep a good attitude. Well, it's a year now. And just a couple of weeks ago, I had to go into the desert with Annika and Mikey and Leanne and some of the other kids that are Murray's friends. And I got to watch my daughter become an officer in the Israeli army. She did get her security clearance, and she did get citizenship, and she did become an officer. You see, that's the goodness of God. But it was hard, and it was scary, and it looked impossible. And you know the amazing thing about seeing my daughter become an officer? I thought I was going to go to this little ceremony and there was going to be like, you know, 100 parents or something. I got there and there were 600 soldiers becoming officers and there was over 5,000 Israeli families there cheering them on. And I realized, the enemy is such a liar. He said Zionism is dying. He said Israel, they don't have an army that's strong enough. He said no one's joining combat units anymore. Well, I want you to know, there were 600 proud young officers and many of them fainting in the heat and they rushed in and picked them up and carried them off, put water on them and brought them back again. But they became officers. And they were there because they were just like David. They're putting their trust in God and they're not looking at the enemy. They're looking at who gives them strength. And that's what we need to be doing, looking at who gives us strength. The citizenship got resolved. The security clearance got resolved. Everything got resolved. But if I had allowed fear to overtake me, I would never have insisted they take the application form. That's how incredible God is. Okay, we're doing okay. I'm going to finish soon. A wonderful example of a man that lived a life of integrity and obedience to God was Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. Now, you know, no one talks about Joseph very much except for the Catholics. So I'm going to do him justice in this setting and I'm just going to talk about him a little bit because I think we owe him a few little hand claps here. He was hand-picked by God because his character had been proven. You have all been hand-picked by God to be here at this time because your character has been proven. You are not here by mistake. You are here for a purpose. And you do have what it takes. His character was tested over and over. But he passed every test. And the amazing thing about him was, every time he got tested, he remained humble and he remained obedient. You know, maybe when other people read the story of Joseph, they see other things. But I was impressed by one thing, and that's the number of times he saw angels. I mean, can you imagine me if I saw a whopping great angel telling me to do something? I would be here next week at the offering telling you that I saw a whopping great angel and you should give your money. But Joseph, he went about it with humility and obedience. He was fertile ground for God's handiwork. God had prepared him. He was in the right place at the right time with the right attitude. And you can be in the right place. It can be you can even be at God's perfect time. But if you don't have the right attitude, you can miss being used by God. You have to be in the right place at the right time with the right attitude. We saw it in David and we see it in Joseph. Oh, they were family. What do you know? He was from the line of David. Satan tried to destroy him, tried to destroy God's plan for the life of Jesus. But Joseph's character remained loyal, reliable, obedient, and faithful. Herod came in to destroy all the children, but Joseph responded by answering the call to go to Egypt. He listened to the angel and he went. He stayed until the Lord came again and said, "Now you can go back." Each time, Joseph responded in obedience. He proved to be both obedient to God, loyal to his divine call to protect and to provide for his family. He was a godly man. He observed all the commandments. He kept the feasts. He circumcised his son. He dedicated him as the firstborn. He brought a sacrifice to the temple. He came up to Jerusalem every year. He set an example through his life. And you know, the last time he's mentioned it is when Jesus is 12. And we all know the story. They come up to Jerusalem for the feast. They don't notice Jesus is missing. I'm giving you the mini version and the condensed Christine version. And they've started on their way back to Nazareth and they notice he's missing. And they turn around and have to go back and look for him. Now, I don't know about you, but if my kid did that, they would be in serious trouble. I mean serious trouble. They would be so grounded. They would get such a lecture. And the interesting thing about this in the scripture, when Mary and Joseph finally find him, Joseph doesn't even speak. Mary speaks. I totally understand that. Like, men just don't know how to say the right thing sometimes. And so Mary said, "Don't you know your father and I were so worried about you?" Well, Jesus wasn't bothered by that. He just said, "Oh, well, I'm in my father's house. I'm busy about doing what I need to do." And Joseph never made a comment. I thought about that. Why didn't he make a comment? And then I thought about the fact that, you know, he was a righteous man. He knew the Scriptures. Maybe he was having one of those proud moments like I was at the base in Haifa. Maybe he was having that flashing light sign pointing, I am the mother of that girl. Maybe he was having that moment. Because in Psalm chapter 45, it's a prophetic psalm about the Messiah. And it says something really interesting. Psalm chapter 45, verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into your lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Joseph saw Jesus step in to becoming the Messiah, of taking his place. He saw him step into his spiritual moment when he became not only a man physically, but a man spiritually. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into their lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Even when Jesus spoke to Mary and Joseph harshly, Joseph practiced self-control. He didn't feel threatened by Jesus. I think he was secretly impressed. You see, Jesus had been studying the Scriptures with Joseph at his knee since he was a child. He was not intimidated by Jesus' display of brilliance. He probably was incredibly proud. His ego didn't get bent out of shape. And he didn't even need to pull out his secret card, the lecture on angels. He could have, all the way to Nazareth, told him, "You think you're so smart? Well, I want you to know something. I have seen angels 4 times. Like they were huge, like they came to me, and if it wasn't for me, you wouldn't have been saved, and I did all these great things for you." Joseph didn't do any of that. He took him back to Nazareth, and he taught him a skill, and he nurtured him. He stayed steadfast and continued on his mission to equip Jesus for his future and his ministry. He taught him a trade, raised him in Jewish traditions, gave him a depth of spiritual awareness that can only come from a godly lifestyle. He got to see the very thing that God was talking about to David in Psalm 27, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How incredible. The very thing that David was calling out for, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Generations later, here is Joseph seeing it in Jesus, the 12-year-old child in the temple. Fairer than the children of men, grace is poured unto thy lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. We all have reset buttons. We all need to remind ourselves about the goodness of God in our lives. He has not abandoned you. He's there. He's just waiting for you to remind yourself who He is. Let's finish by reading Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. Joseph displayed those characteristics and got to see the spiritual birth of Jesus. Boom! There it was. And God is waiting for each one of us to nurture one another, to nurture our children and to see that same thing happen. I am waiting to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I've seen it. I've tasted it. And the Ministry of Interior tried to rob me of it. But it's there. It's there for each one of us. And all we have to do is say, I am confident. I am confident of who God is. Are you confident that He is able to lead you and guide you? If you're not, push the reset button. Remind yourself who He is and what He's done in your life. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine, for that inspired message. We're going to sing in closing a chorus that I haven't sung for a long time. But it says, God, got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for you what others cannot do. How many of you heard that song? Okay, let's sing it. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't to be reminded of your goodness. And Lord, we want to do that more and more in our lives, to think about the awesomeness, the goodness of the Lord, to deliver us, to correct us, to bring those miracles that only you could do. Rejoice that we serve that kind of God.